The California drought is expected to get even worse this summer, with more wildfires and tighter water restrictions ahead. Governor Jerry Brown has already imposed water cuts of 25% for business and residential use across the state. And last year, surface water for agriculture was cut back by an average of 25%, forcing as many as 400,000 acres to remain fallow. The long-running drought threatens California's water-hungry agriculture, which grows as much as half of the fresh produce consumed in the U.S., as well as billions of dollars worth of milk, nuts, and wine grapes. Mark Hertzgard has been looking at the California water crisis. He's an independent journalist and author of the book Hot, Living Through the Next 50 Years on Earth.
We're entering the fourth year of the drought, and the scientists are saying that this could be the worst drought in this part of the world in 1,200 years. There is no sign that the drought is letting up. And of course, it's important to remember here that the geological record tells us that this region of what we now call California has many times over the past 1,000 years had droughts that last even 10 and sometimes as much as 20 to 30 years. So as hard as it is to believe, we could just be at the start of this drought.
So, Mark, what do you think about Jerry Brown's recent water restrictions in California? I believe they're unprecedented.
They are unprecedented. It's the first time in history that any California governor has ordered rather than requested restrictions. But, of course, Governor Brown has been criticized for the nature of these restrictions. He has imposed restrictions, pretty big ones, on the residential users, and he's required that they restrict their water use by 25% this year. At the same time, though, the governor's executive order said to the agricultural sector that it must only submit, quote, plans, unquote, for future drought. And that's a problem because agriculture is responsible for 80%, that's 80% of all the water that's used here in California. Agriculture is important, but it's only 2% of California's economy. And when you've got 2% of your economy that is using 80% of the water, I don't think that's going to be sustainable.
Now, the residential side is for watering lawns, a lot of it, washing cars. Only a small amount is consumed as drinking water. On the agricultural side, isn't the formula that food equals water or water equals food? If those guys don't get water, they won't be able to produce food.
Well, you would think that, but I found when I dug a little deeper into this in reporting on it that there's no one story out there in the agricultural sector in the Central Valley. And in fact, some of the biggest farmers are literally laughing all their way to the bank. Or the quote that I had in my story from a big pistachio farmer named John Dean said, quote, I'm smiling all the way to the bank. Because these farmers of pistachios and almonds, walnuts, which are pretty thirsty crops, they are reaping record profits, and it's not just because the prices are high this year. It's also because they are literally expanding their acreage in these thirsty crops over recent years. So the big farmers who are able to get a hold of water, they are making money hand over fist, even as many of the farm workers out in the Central Valley are dearly, dearly suffering. There are communities now, Steve, in the Central Valley where their household faucets no longer give water, just mud.
I know to get the details will take a lot of time here, Mark, but in brief, how is water priced for agriculture? I understand there are many different ways that give some folks huge advantages and other folks really at a disadvantage.
The water pricing system in California really could fill an entire book. The experts all say that that is, though, the core of the problem. All the water experts that I interviewed for this story said that, look, we have to face the fact that water is unrealistically priced in California. It is still inexpensive, and therefore we are using more than we should and wasting a lot of it. You can draw an analogy to gasoline prices. When gasoline was $1.50 a gallon, there were a lot of Americans driving SUVs and other gas-guzzling vehicles. But when gasoline goes up to $3 or $4 a gallon, suddenly that Prius starts to look pretty good, and you trade in the SUV for the Prius. And that's kind of what's going on in California on water now. We have a water system for pricing and incentives that is based in the 19th or 20th century, and we need to prepare for the 21st century. And one example of that is that there is no single price for water that all farmers pay in California. It depends on how long you've had your water rights, what you're doing with them, and what time of year you get the water. So some farmers could be paying as little as $10 an acre foot. And just so you know, an acre foot is about how much water it would take to cover a football field with 1 foot of water. And other farmers could be paying hundreds of dollars an acre foot. And then it also depends, the other big category is, are you getting that water from under the earth or from the state and the federal water projects? Governor Brown points out that to his critics that, hey, agriculture is already cut back. The state water project is cutting farmers back to 20% of their normal allocation in 2015. The feds have cut it back to zero. And that sounds impressive, but it is not stopping the big farmers in the Central Valley, because what they do instead is simply drill deeper wells. And I've been down there in the Central Valley on reporting trips, and essentially you've got a kind of an agricultural arms race where farmers are drilling deeper and deeper and deeper wells in order to keep that groundwater coming. And let it be known, the groundwater, they pay nothing for that groundwater. Of course, they do pay for the drilling, but the groundwater is free to whoever.
Tell me more about this use of groundwater, these wells. I take it then that the bigger, richer farmers are able to dig deeper, but there must be some limit at some point. That aquifer down there is, well, that too will run out of water, won't it?
I think the groundwater aspect of California's drought is really the big question here, along with pricing. And for many, many years, California was the only state in the arid western part of the United States that put no limits on groundwater extraction, zero. Now, that changed last fall when the legislature passed a bill that Governor Brown has signed that will begin to bring some order to groundwater extractions. At least now we will begin to know how much is being extracted. And over time, the legislation requires the extractions to be brought to a sustainable level. But that's not until 2040. Some of the, again, criticism of this comes from the NASA scientist Jay Famiglietti, who pointed out in the LA Times about a month ago that California only has 1 year of stored water left, non-groundwater supplies. And we're presumably going to be using that up this year as the drought continues. And so what that means is that the big farmers are going to be turning more and more to the groundwater. And that is dangerous, not just because our kids are going to need that groundwater to deal with future droughts. The real danger, and this is kind of the doomsday scenario, Steve, is that if you extract too much water too fast from an aquifer, from under the ground, you run the risk of ruining it forever. And if you think of just like drinking water out with a straw, if you suck up too much of it too fast, what happens is that the ground compresses around it. And the danger is that if all of that earth that surrounds the underground water supply compresses, you can essentially collapse the aquifer and render it permanently inaccessible.
Now, what about the mix of agricultural products? There are some water-intensive things ranging from almonds to alfalfa. What thought is Governor Brown and his crew giving to encouraging the ag sector to shift into more water-efficient crops, stuff that grows better in deserts?
Governor Brown has said explicitly on the record he does not want to tell farmers which crops to plant and not plant. And I must say that most of the water experts that I've interviewed also shy away from that. Again, they say, look, let's get the pricing right. If we get the pricing right, then let the marketplace decide what they want to do. If we charge the realistic price for water, that is going to increase, inevitably, the price of thirsty crops like almonds, like alfalfa. Now, at that point, leave it up to the market. If the market, if the farmers still want to take that chance, and if consumers still want to buy almonds, if they're suddenly costing $20 a pound rather than $12 a pound, so be it. But most people think that that's a better way to go than getting down into the weeds and trying to tell this farmer and that farmer, plant this, don't plant that. It'd be a bureaucratic nightmare, and I think, frankly, you'd get a lot of people complaining about big brotherism. Farmers in particular, you know, I grew up on a farm, so this is not about demonizing farmers or demonizing a particular crop. Farmers are pretty bright, but you've got to have the incentives right if you want the final results to be true to what's good for everybody in this state.
Mark Hertzgaard's book is called Hot, Living Through the Next 50 Years on Earth. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Mark.
My pleasure, Steve.
This story continues to develop, and after we recorded this interview, California's Water Resources Control Board began sending letters to about 1,500 Central Valley farmers, ordering them to stop taking water from rivers and streams for irrigation.